and ask her if she knows who lives there?
Can't hurt, he said.
I stepped down out of the RV when she got closer to us. Excuse me, hi. Can you tell me who lives at that property over there? 12 Via Cerritos? She tugged on her dog's leash to keep it from moving and narrowed her eyes at me. What? Are you on some kind of sightseeing tour? The residents don't appreciate your curious kind around here. My boss is one of them. I'll have you know she'll call her security if I'm not on a tour. I'm looking for a friend. Can you just tell me who lives there? That's Cole Archer's house.
Cole Archer? Is he someone famous?
Yes. The lead singer of the band Archer.
Archer?
Not sure I've ever heard of them. An incredulous look crossed her face. Have you been living under a rock? I laughed at the irony of that. Basically, yeah. She looked behind me at Doc, who was now outside of the RV looking up at a tree. Why does he have binoculars, then, if you two aren't spying on the rich and famous? He's looking for birds, not Beyonce. Well, I suggest you move that RV off this street before someone has you arrested. Thank you for your time, I said before walking back toward Doc. He put down the binoculars.
What did she say?
She said the person who lives there is named Cole Archer. He's apparently a famous musician. Maybe Griffin works for this man. As Doc and I re-entered the RV, I said, You brought your laptop, right? Maybe we can connect to that hotspot?
Sure. Are you going to look up this musician?
Yes, I need to see who Cole Archer is. After he handed me the computer, I pulled up YouTube and typed in Cole Archer. A plethora of results came up. On second thought, I was pretty sure I'd heard of the band Archer, but since my taste in music tended to be less current, I didn't know anything about them and couldn't name any of their songs. The first video I played was titled Archer Live at the Pavilion. Someone had taken professional footage of one of their performances. It looked like a smaller concert venue. The lead singer, presumably Cole Archer, was sitting on a stool and playing guitar while making love to the microphone during a slow ballad. His voice was powerful, hypnotic, and a little bit gritty. He was extremely attractive, exactly how you would imagine the lead singer of a band. Thick hair that looked like he'd just had sex, chiseled features, and a great body. A few silver rings adorned his large hands that were wrapped around the guitar handle. Since this video really wasn't telling me anything, though, I went in search of another to watch. The next one I clicked on was titled Archer Interview, Liam Stanley Tonight. The band members were sitting in a row answering questions from the interviewer.
Tell me how you guys got together.
Cole answered.
Well, I'm not sure how much time you have. It's a bit of a long one.
I immediately noticed that Cole had a British accent. Wait. A rush of adrenaline ran through me. It was the first time I considered the unthinkable. No, it couldn't be. Griffin couldn't be Cole Archer, could he? No way. No how. The accent had to be a coincidence. At least that was what I wanted to believe.
Have you found anything?
Doc shouted from the corner of the RV. Not anything that would lead me to Griffin's connection to Cole Archer. I have to keep looking. I was reluctant to admit to Doc that I suspected Cole could be Griffin. It still seemed too crazy, and I had no evidence to substantiate it. Over the next hour, I scoured the internet for any bit of information I could find on Cole Archer. His Wikipedia page did indicate that he grew up in England, which wasn't news, given the accent. But there was no information alluding to anything else that would lead me to believe this man was Griffin. It wasn't until I came across the comments section of an article in a music magazine that I got my answer. It was clear as day, right in the middle of an insulting jab. I don't get the appeal. His voice sucks. It's like he can't decide whether he wants to sound British or American. Oh, and his real name isn't even Cole Archer. It's apparently Griffin Marchese. My eyes were glued to the word. Griffin. Griffin Marchese. Griffin Marchese. Marchese Music. Oh, my God. My body completely froze as all the blood in it traveled to my head. My heart was racing. Griffin is Cole Archer? Cole Archer is Griffin? Griffin is a superstar? My Griffin? I kept pausing the video at different spots to see if I could catch a glimpse of the 12-year-old boy I remembered from that one picture he'd sent. There was one frame that truly sealed the deal. It was the same exact expression from the photo.
Luca, what's wrong? You look like you've seen a ghost.
After several seconds, I finally mustered the ability to answer him. I don't even know what to say. Griffin is... He is Cole Archer. That's why he lives in a place like this. I put the laptop down and covered my mouth. He's famous. This is unbelievable. Doc covered his mouth.
Oh my. Are you thinking this explains why he didn't want you to know his identity?
I thought back to the words in his last letter. Sometimes when you follow your dreams, you realize they aren't free, and the cost is far greater than you'd ever anticipated. It was a figurative cost he'd been referring to, not a literal one. He wasn't poor, but perhaps he had paid a price for fame. That's it, Doc. It's starting to make sense now. He must have thought my knowing would change the way I saw him. The reality of this situation was hitting me in waves. Griffin is a rock star. A fucking rock star. I could only assume his lifestyle is one of fast cars, sex, and crowds of people. It was likely the polar opposite of my secluded existence. Truly understanding this also meant realizing that we very likely couldn't ever be anything more than friends. That epiphany was heartbreaking. Could we be more different? Why am I hearing Chandler Bing from Friends at a time like this? Panicking, I asked, "What now?" This was the last thing I ever expected. What do I do, Doc? I seriously feel paralyzed.
We came all the way out here, Luca. Now that you know what he's hiding from you, why not just go to him, tell him the truth, and nip this in the bud? It's going to come out eventually. I think it would be extremely hard for you to hold in what you know now and to pretend that nothing has changed.
Doc was right about one thing. This did change everything. How do I even access him? There is no way his security will let some crazy girl anywhere near him. After I grabbed the laptop again, he asked,
"What are you doing?"
I just need to watch him a bit more. I kept scrolling through the videos. I became transfixed whenever I looked into his eyes and realized this man was my Griffin. Come to think of it, the more I watched, the more I could again see glimpses of the face I remembered from that photo all those years ago. There was one video that showed Griffin, Cole, signing a bunch of autographs in the midst of a swarm of sex-crazed women. He seemed frustrated and tired, yet he signed every single one until there were no more people waiting. Not to mention, any one of those women would have been happy to stand by his side while he performed the duties of his job. Me? Just the thought of being in that crowd made me start to panic. I swallowed hard. It felt like I had the heaviest weight on my chest. I was suddenly in mourning, having to say goodbye to the imagined future I had with Griffin. There was no way to make this work. I could totally see now why he felt the letters were all there could ever be between us. Honestly, it might have been better if I'd never uncovered this. Just when I thought nothing else could surprise me today, my eyes landed on one of Archer's music videos. It was the title of the song that caught my eye, Luca. What? Before I could click on it, a loud knock on the RV door startled me. Upon peeking out of the window, I felt my heart fall to my stomach. The most beautiful man I'd probably ever seen in the flesh was standing there with his arms crossed, wearing a bathrobe? Oh no. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Who is it, Luca?
Feeling ready to collapse, I looked over at Doc and cried, "It's Griffin!"
Chapter 12, Griffin, 1 hour earlier. I hadn't heard from Julian in 2 days. When I hired him, I'd figured he'd snap a few pics, maybe tail Luca for a bit to see what her daily life was like. Nothing too crazy. Yet my little snoop job had turned into a cross-country expedition at this point. Luca hadn't mentioned in her last letter that she'd been planning a road trip. So when Julian called to say she'd gotten into an RV carrying a suitcase with the old guy, I told him to follow her and see where they were heading. 12 hours later, he called and said he'd just crossed over the Ohio state border. I figured I was in this far, might as well see where the two of them were going. Plus, I was curious. So far, they'd gone to 3 different national parks, spent 2 days in Nebraska at some crazy-looking lady's house, and then hit the Grand Canyon. Not that Luca owed me any explanation for her whereabouts, but I thought it was screwed up that she'd tell me her fantasies, but not mention an upcoming 15-state road trip. If I didn't have to be at the studio every day this week, I would have hopped in the damn car and driven to Nevada myself, just to get an in-person glimpse of Luca. The thought of her being so close to me had me distracted all day. But when my phone rang at 6 a.m., I had no idea just how close she really was. What? I hadn't even looked at the caller ID when I answered. Whoever was on the other end of the line better have a damn good reason for calling. I'd been in the studio until after 2 in the morning last night, or rather today.
Wakey wakey, Mr. Rockstar. I have some very interesting news.
Hearing Julian's voice, I sat up in bed. What happened?
Your little chickadee has arrived at her next destination.
Where is she now?
Mexico? Close. A little farther north. You'll never guess.
I'm paying you by the hour, so how about we save the guessing games and you just cut to the chase?
She's in Palos Verdes Estates.
What? She's here? In my little town? That couldn't be a damn coincidence. What the fuck?
I hopped out of bed, grabbed a pair of sweatpants, and started to pull them on.
Where is she?
Via Cerritos, my friend. She's parked that heap of metal about half a block down from your house and turned off the lights. Hasn't come out yet.
My heart started to race out of control, and my mind reeled even faster. A million questions hit me all at once. What the hell is she doing here? She knows who I am. How long has she known? What the fuck? What the fuck?
You still there?
Julian asked. I'd forgotten he was on the phone, even though I still had it held up to my ear. Yeah, I'm here.
What do you want me to do?
I raked my hand through my hair. I don't know. Stay on her. I need a few minutes to think. Call me if she gets out of the RV.
You got it, boss.
I hung up and stared at my phone for a solid 5 minutes. I seriously couldn't believe what was happening. Luca was here. After 18 years, the girl who I'd never met yet knew me better than anyone without knowing my real name, and she was right outside my house. What the hell was her plan? Was she going to knock on my door? How did she think she'd get past the guard at my gate? How the hell did she find me? Better yet, what was I going to do now that she had? I was pissed off, but did I really have any right to be pissed if she'd hired someone to find me? After all, I'd done the same damn thing. Of course, I hadn't hopped into an RV and driven across the country to knock on her door, which brought up another series of questions. Why the fuck hadn't I? I have no balls. No goddamn balls. Luca has bigger balls than I do. Shit. Balls. Fuck! I needed some coffee if there was any shot in hell that I'd make sense of things, so I headed to the kitchen to make a pot. While it was brewing, I looked out the windows. The tall hedges that bordered my property line blocked the view of the street, so I couldn't see down the block. That had been one of the things that first attracted me to the house. Privacy. When my coffee was done, I dialed Julian for an update. He answered on the first ring.
All quiet on the crazy bus still.
That shit might have been funny if I wasn't so anxious. So they're just parked there. What are they going to do, camp out on my block?
No idea. But the way the police patrol this ritzy neighborhood, I'm sure they'll be escorted off the block pretty quickly. Sun isn't even awake yet. Cops are getting their donuts and coffee, so they'll be around soon.
He was joking, but he also wasn't wrong. My area had its share of celebrities. The police really did enforce the no loitering rules around town, which meant whatever she was doing here, she might not be doing it for long. Let me know if anything changes in the meantime, but I'll be out in a few minutes.
You're coming out? Want me to handle this for you?
I don't think so. This is something I need to handle on my own.
All right, I'm here if you need me. I'll keep an eye from where I'm parked down the block. Thanks, Julian. I hung up, tossed my phone on the table, and drained the rest of the coffee from my mug. When I opened the front door, the chilly morning air hit me. I only had on a pair of sweats, so I grabbed a bathrobe hanging on a hook and slid on some slippers. I looked like James Gandolfini from The Sopranos about to go grab the morning paper and wave to the FBI. I really hoped that a car full of teeny boppers didn't pass by as I headed down the block. At the bottom of the driveway, a security guard sat in a little booth next to my toll gates. I waved. Hey, Joe.
Morning, Mr. Archer. You heading somewhere?
Just down the block.
Not sure that's a good idea. I'm keeping my eye on a strange vehicle that pulled up a little while ago. Figured I'd give it 15 more minutes and then call the local guys to escort it out if it's still here. Could be an eccentric fan or paparazzi.
Oh, you got the eccentric part, right?
It's fine. Don't call quite yet. I'm going to handle this one myself.
You sure?
Positive.
Joe pressed the button to the gates, and I slipped outside onto the street. Sure enough, there was the RV parked a few houses away. I was used to excitement, getting on stage with a stadium full of cheering fans pumped up the adrenaline, but that feeling had nothing on the anticipation I felt as I walked down the street. 18 years, and it all came down to this. As I approached, I saw there was no one in the driver or passenger seat. A curtain was drawn so that I couldn't see the interior of the RV. Guess my visit was going to be a surprise attack. Arriving at the door, I took a deep breath. It did nothing to slow my racing pulse.
Luca, 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 what are you up to?
I guess I'm going to find out, my eccentric, beautiful girl. My chest felt like it had a runaway train locked inside, and a thin sheen of sweat formed on my forehead. Lifting my hand to knock, I was barely able to stop it from shaking long enough to pound on the door. God, I was a wreck. I couldn't remember the last time my nerves had gotten to me like this, but that was nothing compared to what I felt when the door swung open. My heart nearly stopped at the sight of her. Her beautiful, gigantic eyes seemed to be staring through to my soul, causing me to completely blank on what to even say. I had to think quickly and opted not to out her just yet. I wanted to see where this would go if I didn't immediately come clean, namely whether she knew Cole was me. You realize it's illegal to park here, don't you? I finally said. She swallowed and forced out words.
Who are you?
While I couldn't be 100% certain she knew it was me, I suspected based on her apparent nerves that she did. I'm Cole Archer. I pointed behind me. My property is right over there. Her eyes seemed to be examining every inch of my face.
Oh. Beautiful, beautiful, Luca. Wow, it's really you.
I wanted to pull her into my arms and devour her plump lips, swallowing up all of those nerves. Instead, I said, "You should move the vehicle before someone calls the police." She shook her head.
Oh, yeah, sure, we can do that.
Going right now,
the old man said as he jumped up from his spot in the back. I hadn't even noticed him until he spoke. He moved into the driver's seat. I'd only told them to move as my excuse for coming out here. I didn't want them to actually move because then what? I could lose her. Before he was about to turn the ignition, I held out my hand to stop him.
Wait.
He looked over at me. Expecting more.
Think.
I suppose there's no harm in what you're doing, just parking here. I can't guarantee that no one else will call the police, but you're good with me. Stay here as long as you like. Luca blew out a relieved breath.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Our eyes were stuck like glue to one another as I nodded. Very well, then. I turned around and headed back toward my house, shaking my head at this predicament. Although I'd wanted so badly to take her into my arms and tell her I knew who she was, it was easier said than done. I was also hoping she'd fess up to me, but she never did. While I was now fairly certain she knew who I was based on the way she looked at me, I also couldn't be 100% sure. I had a lot of questions. Did she maybe recognize me as Cole Archer and not know that it's really me? Could that also explain the reaction? Was she still looking for Griffin? Or worse, did she realize that I was Cole and then decide that she wanted a piece of me just like everyone else? That didn't sound like Luca, but honestly, neither did this entire road trip she'd embarked on. I was so goddamn confused. I felt like the only way I could really learn if she wanted me for me was to continue the charade a little longer. If I told her the truth too soon, I might never really know her true intentions. I spent the rest of that afternoon looking out the window at the RV parked in the distance. I'd made a few calls to ensure the cops didn't have them removed. I couldn't understand why she'd come all the way to California if she didn't plan on telling me who she was. Then again, I'd completely blown my own opportunity to bear all. If I knew Luca, she was second-guessing everything, stuck as to how to handle this just as much as I was. I needed to draw her out, make it easier for her to open up to me. There was no way I was letting her leave California before getting to explain myself properly. Jesus. She'd come all the way out here, despite her agoraphobia. That really spoke volumes about how much she needed to find out the truth. I had to go out there before she made a rash decision and left. It would be nice if I took off my damn bathrobe this time. After replacing the robe with a halfway decent shirt, I once again passed my very confused security guard and headed down the road to where the RV was parked. She'd never agreed to go anywhere in public with me, and given her issues, I wouldn't put her through the hell of having to deal with paparazzi. But I needed to get her alone. Maybe even have a little fun before I pulled the lid off everything tonight. There was only one way to handle this clusterfuck, and that was to wing it. I knocked on the RV and waited. Luca opened the door, once again looking flustered. I waved. Hey, me again. She blew out a breath.
You again.
I just wanted to apologize if my knocking on your door earlier was intrusive.
Not at all.
What brings you to the neighborhood? She looked back at her friend, then said,
He and I are on a road trip. This looked like a nice, safe place to stop.
I'm sorry I was so rude earlier that I didn't even get your name.
My name? I'm...
She hesitated, then looked to her left.
Murata, and this is my friend Chester.
Murata, I repeated.
Yes.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. Welcome to California. I'm Cole. I held out my hand and she took it. Touching her for the first time felt electric.
Nice to meet you, Cole.
What are your plans while you're here? I asked.
Can't say I have any, just going wherever the wind takes us.
Or the hot air. I needed to move this nonsense forward. Might you have some time to join me for dinner tonight? While Luca didn't say anything, the old man answered for her.
She'd love to.
She turned to him.
I would.
Yes, you would.
She looked at me again.
I guess I would.
Brilliant, then. Say about 6, I'll give my guard your name, Murata. He'll let you in. She feigned happiness.
That's great, thanks. Looking forward to it.
I knew she was probably dying inside. I hated that, but this had to be done. As I walked back to my house, all I could think was how ridiculous this situation was. I didn't have very long to figure out how the hell I was going to handle it.
Chapter 13. Luca. Murata? Murata. I couldn't come up with anything better than the brand name of the RV we're driving. That was an interesting choice, Doc chuckled. I freaked out and glanced over at the dash, and that was all that came out. I have to say, I was very curious as to how you were going to handle that whole situation. I didn't handle it. I completely made a mess of things for myself. Thanks for accepting his date offer, by the way. It would have been nice if I'd had a choice. You don't have a choice, Luca. You must face the music. I never thought the music would end up being literal. I sighed. Seriously, how am I going to handle this, Doc? He's going to think I'm a nut job for following him here and lying about my identity.
You're not the only one who lied. His was a lie of omission.
Am I really doing this? Having dinner with him?
Yes.
What do I say?
He's giving you the chance to say anything you need to. The fact that he came back here and invited you into his home saves you the trouble of having to figure out how to get him alone. He's handed the opportunity to you on a silver platter. Now it's up to you to decide what to do with it.
An hour later, I was dressed in the only nice outfit I'd packed, a simple red sheath dress. I hadn't exactly planned on going to dinner with a celebrity in his fancy mansion while out here stalking Griffin. I most definitely hadn't expected Griffin to be that celebrity. With wobbly legs, I made my way over to his massive house. I spoke to the guard. Hi. Jesus, I nearly forgot my supposed name. Murata here to see Cole Archer.
Yes, he's expecting you.
He directed me to head to the front entrance. As I continued toward the door, I wondered what Cole wanted with me anyway. Griffin didn't know my identity. He thought he was inviting a random woman for dinner. Did he do this all the time? Was he attracted to me? Or was he just being hospitable? I couldn't figure out why he'd invited me here. Before I was able to ponder it much, the gigantic wooden door to the Spanish-style house opened. A short woman dressed in housekeeper's garb nodded at me as she let me in. Griffin was nowhere to be found. My heels echoed against the marble floors as I looked around the impressive foyer. Some framed vinyl records adorned the walls. This was definitely what I'd imagined a rock star's house to look like. All I could think of right now was, I'm so proud of you, Griffin. His voice startled me.
The record label sends those to me. Might as well hang them up. I'm really not an egomaniac, I swear.
I wasn't thinking that at all. You should be proud. You've really done well. When I turned to look at him, I noticed he'd changed into sleek black pants and a fitted gray t-shirt. His hair was wet. He was seriously hot as fuck. I couldn't believe this was my Griffin.
Depends on how you define done well. I've definitely accumulated wealth and managed to impress a certain percentage of people with my music. But it can be hard sometimes. It can be a very lonely life.
That tugged at my heartstrings. Yeah, I can imagine.
Can I get you something to drink, Murata?
Sure, anything is fine.
I have a bar bigger than Cheers. What suits your fancy?
A glass of wine would be nice. Griffin led me into the massive living room. All the furniture was white. I just knew I was going to dirty it somehow before I left. He ventured over to the large bar in the corner of the room and prepared my drink himself. He returned and handed me a large glass of red wine.
Sorry, dinner is a little late. My chef is off tonight. And, well, I didn't want to poison you with my cooking, so I've ordered out. Hope that's okay.
That sounds delicious.
You don't even know what it is yet.
That's true, but I'm sure it will be good.
You sure have a lot of blind faith in me.
What did he just say? Blind faith? He must just use that term freely. I wouldn't read into it. I cleared my throat. Apparently. He clapped his hands together.
So, dinner. Hope you like scallops wrapped in bacon. I've chosen that for an appetizer. Then garlic pork roast with thyme for the main course.
Pork? Is he kidding? I swallowed. Sounds delicious. He squinted at me.
You look so familiar. Are you sure we haven't met?
Nervously twirling my hair, I laughed. What do you take me for, a groupie?
Ha. No. I just felt this familiarity from the moment I met you.
His eyes were searing into mine. I was seriously starting to burn up from the intensity of his stare. Can he possibly know it's me? How? My plan was to tell him the truth, but the longer this charade went on, the harder it was to blurt it out for some reason. I kept waiting for the perfect window to confess, but it never seemed to come. Not to mention, his penetrating stare sort of left me speechless.
Who is that man you're traveling with?
He asked. He's a good friend.
So, no funny business going on there?
Gosh, no. He's only my traveling companion. I don't travel alone.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, traveling alone is for the birds.
Birds? Right. He smiled.
So did you recognize me? You didn't seem like you did.
My heart was beating out of my chest. You mean, did I know you were Cole Archer? Griffin tilted his head.
What else would I mean?
I blew out a relieved breath. I did actually know who you are, yes.
That sucks. I was kind of hoping you didn't.
I looked deeply into his eyes. It must be crazy, huh? Being you?
Yes, but what in particular do you mean?
Everything? He just looked at me for a while before he answered.
Sometimes I just wish I could hide in my house and never come out.
Sounds familiar. My heart beat faster. He continued.
I envy people who aren't recognized everywhere they go.
I can imagine.
What is it that you do, Murata?
What do I do? A little bit of everything. Sort of at a crossroads right now.
Why are you hiding it? If I can be forthright, certainly you can as well. What? Do you write porn or something?
No, nothing like that.
Too bad.
He winked. Suddenly, the housekeeper led a bunch of people through the living room into the adjacent dining room.
Ah, dinner's here, Griffin said.
I put my wine down on an end table and followed him into the dining area. A full staff of people were setting up a grand table. One gentleman carried a gigantic covered silver platter. This looks like a meal fit for a king, I said. When the man took the top off the platter, my stomach sank. It wasn't just pork, but an entire pig with the head still on it. I looked away. I couldn't stomach it. It was like watching Hortensia burned at the stake and laid out at her funeral. Griffin's eyes were practically bugging out of his head. His cool stance was no longer. He turned to the man.
What the fuck? I ordered the pork, not an entire animal. What the hell are you bringing into my house? It's disturbing. Please cover it up and take it back.
The man hurriedly did as he said, but asked,
What did you think pork was, sir? I get what you're saying, but there's no need to see my dinner staring back at me.
He looked over at me.
Clearly you can see my guest is extremely upset.
I was shaking. Honestly, I didn't even know what to say anymore. After the room emptied out, Griffin rushed over to me.
Are you okay?
That was unexpected.
Fuck. I was just having a little fun and ordering the pork. I knew you wouldn't eat it. I would never have done that to you on purpose. I know how much she means to you.
Wait. What? What's happening? He placed his hands around my face.
You look like you're about to cry. I fucked this all up. I would never want to hurt you like that. You mean so fucking much to me.
He backed me up against the wall, pressing his rock-hard body against mine.
Luca. My beautiful Luca.
My voice was shaky. Griffin?
How did you find me, my impulsive girl?
He shook his head.
Never mind. Don't answer that yet.
He leaned in and smashed his lips against mine, kissing me so hard I was practically seeing stars. My entire body felt weightless as I melted into him, our tongues colliding in a wet and delicious frenzy as we made up for years of lost kisses.
God damn, Luca, you taste so good,
he muttered over my lips.
I feel like I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Raking my fingers in his lustrous hair, I couldn't help the sounds that were coming out of my mouth. No one had ever kissed me the way Griffin Marchese was doing right now. Breathing him in like this was everything I'd ever dreamed of. Our kiss was interrupted when the housekeeper entered carrying three large pizza boxes. Feeling like an animal in heat, I panted and asked, What's that?
Our real dinner. Pineapple pizza. Your favorite.
A feeling of nostalgia warmed over me. You remembered?
How could I forget? I remember everything, Luca. Tell me what you're thinking right now.
I blinked a few times and my vision came back into focus. I'd been staring down at a slice of pineapple pizza, and when I looked up, I found Griffin watching me. I'd heard him speak, but the words seemed to have swooped in one ear and bolted out the other. I'm sorry, what did you say? He stood. We'd been sitting across from each other at the dining room table. Today had been surreal, from finding out Griffin was Cole Archer to seeing him for the first time after all these years, to that kiss. That kiss. Griffin extended his hand.
Come on, you have too much on your mind to eat right now. Why don't we go sit in the living room and talk?
I nodded and put my hand in his. He led me over to the massive sectional, and when I sat, he knelt down in front of me and slipped off my heels one at a time.
I'm taking these off so that you're comfortable, but I also have an ulterior motive. I'm going to get us some more wine from the kitchen, and I'm going to keep one of these with me so you can't bolt out the door while I'm gone for 2 minutes.
I thought he was joking, but he actually took one of my shoes with him. He returned a few minutes later carrying 2 fresh glasses of wine and my high heel.
Nottingham Cellars cab.
Griff extended a glass of my favorite wine. The thing was full to the brim.
I wasn't sure what year you liked, so I got a few different ones. This is the 2014. Which do you usually buy?
Whichever one is the cheapest.
Shit. I went in the other direction.
I smiled. It's fine. I'm not really a wine aficionado, so I doubt I'll be able to tell 1 year from the next. Griffin sat down on the couch next to me and pulled one knee up, turning to face me. He looked completely at ease, whereas I was concentrating hard to keep my hand from shaking. I really didn't want to slosh red wine all over his white furniture. He noticed and put a hand on my knee.
Relax. I'm not going to bite.
An adorable boyish grin tugged at the corners of his mouth.
Unless you want me to.
I gulped down half the glass of wine. Griffin arched a brow.
Feel better?
I shook my head. Not really. He slipped the glass from my hands and set it down on the coffee table, along with his untouched one. Then he took both my hands into his and looked back and forth between my eyes.
You're even more beautiful in person.
Heat crept up my cheeks. Thank you. I can't believe you even recognized me. How old was I in the one photo you've seen of me? 12? Griffin looked down at our joined hands and squeezed.
I think we both have a lot to come clean about. So I'm going to start right now. I didn't recognize you from the picture that you'd sent me in middle school. I hired a private investigator to follow you and take some photos of you.
My eyes bulged from my head. You what? When?
A few weeks ago. He took some pictures of you coming out of the post office. And then he followed you across the country over the last week.
Not knowing someone had been watching me made me suddenly feel very violated. I pulled my hands from his. Why would you do that? Griffin raked his hands through his hair.
I wanted to see what you looked like.
I asked you to exchange photos. You were the one who said you didn't want to.
I wanted to see you. I just didn't want you to see me. But I guess you knew who I was all along, so the joke was on me anyway.
My brows drew down. What are you talking about? I only found out this morning who you are. He looked genuinely confused.
Then how did you happen to arrive on my block?
You left an eBay receipt in the bottom of the box of Furbies you sent me. It had a shipping address of Marchese Music. I figured that was where you worked. Griffin shook his head.
But if you didn't know who I was, why did you drive all the way across the country?
The fact that he'd even had to ask that question told me so much. This beautiful man with this big, beautiful house thought people were attracted to him for his fortune and fame. This time, it was me who did the assuring. I reached out and took his hand in mine, looking into his eyes as I spoke. Because I had a crush on the boy who wrote me letters all those years ago, but I started to fall for the sweet man who seemed to like me for who I am, broken or not, and I needed to see if maybe we could have a chance if we met in person, finally. Griffin leaned in a little closer. His eyes jumped back and forth between mine, searching for something.
You really had no idea who I was until this morning.
I half smiled. I hate to bruise your ego, Mr. Rockstar, but not only did I have no idea who you are, I'd never even listened to your music. Even though I'd just insulted him, Griffin smiled like my answer was the best thing he'd ever heard. His eyes lit up.
What if you came all the way out here, and I was homeless, bald, and had a few missing teeth?
I covered my mouth and laughed. That's pretty much what I was expecting. You said your career choices had cost you more than you anticipated, so I thought maybe you were poor and ashamed about it. Griffin looked bewildered. He squinted.
And yet you drove 3,000 miles anyway.
I shrugged. I liked you for you. I was willing to accept whatever your situation was. But don't get me wrong. The fact that you look, I waved my hand at his face, like this, is a very nice surprise. Griffin wrapped his hands around the backs of my knees and tugged me closer to him.
Oh, yeah. Are you saying you like the way I look, babe?
Babe. I definitely liked that. I tried not to smile, but failed miserably. I guess you're not so hard on the eyes. He cupped my cheek.
Is that so? Well, you're not so bad yourself.
His eyes fell to my lips, and he rubbed his thumb over my bottom one.
This pouty mouth. I spent hours staring at it as a teenager. You don't even want to know all the things I used to fantasize about doing to it.
I swallowed. Yes, I do. Griffin's eyes darkened, and he pushed his thumb into my mouth. Without giving it any thought, I swirled my tongue around it and then closed my eyes before sucking hard.
Fuck, Luca.
The hoarse rumble of his groan sent shivers across my skin. Suddenly, I was lifted from my seat and was being hauled across Griffin's lap. He wound his hands into my hair, his lips sealed over mine, and his tongue replaced his finger inside my mouth. I'd thought our first kiss was electric, but this one, it made my body feel like a live wire. His lips were so soft, but his touch was so firm. This was a man who knew how to kiss. I was pretty sure I'd spend hours analyzing that fact later, but in the moment, I didn't care how he'd gotten good at it, only that his expert tongue was inside my mouth, and it felt like damn heaven. He kissed me long and hard, with just the right amount of aggressiveness to make me let him take the lead and follow him anywhere. I distantly registered a sound, but the roar of the blood rushing through my ears made everything else seem so far away and faded, which was why, at first, I didn't realize the noise I heard was a doorbell ringing, until it rang a second time. I tried to speak between our joined lips, but Griffin pressed his harder to mine.
Ignore it, he mumbled.
Since I wasn't anxious to stop, I pretended I hadn't heard it. But when the bell rang a third time, it was Griffin who pulled back. He stumbled to his feet, panting. Dazed at the sudden change in what was happening, I lifted my hand to cover my bruised lips. I thought... That was when I heard what had made Griffin stop. Unfortunately, it was the voice of the one person I couldn't ignore. Doc.
Chapter 14, Griffin.
Where's Luca?
The old man marched past me as if I didn't exist. I shut the door and cleared my throat. She's in the living... Luca staggered into the kitchen looking frazzled. Her lips were swollen and her hair was a disheveled mess. Yet I wasn't sure if her being freaked out was from our kiss or from her being worried about the old guy. She looked pretty panicked.
Doc, what's the matter? Is everything okay?
He made a beeline for her and placed both his hands on her shoulders.
Are you okay? You didn't text like you were supposed to.
Luca let out a relieved breath.
Shoot, I'm sorry, Doc. Griffin and I, we just got caught up and it slipped my mind that I was supposed to let you know I was okay.
Doc gave her a thorough once over, then looked suspiciously at me and back to her.
You're sure everything is okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Griffin, he knows who I am now.
Doc's forehead smoothed out.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I was worried about you. I didn't mean to intrude.
I knew he was important to her, so I extended my hand. Griffin Marchese
sometimes known as Cole Archer, Dr. Maxwell. I've heard a lot about you.
The good doctor warmed up.
Call me Chester, please.
It dawned on me that security hadn't called to let me know they were letting anyone come up to the house. Did you come through the front gate, Chester? He shook his head.
I climbed the fence at the far end of the property.
My eyes widened. My fence had to be 8 feet tall.
You climbed the fence?
Luca wasn't answering her phone, and I was worried.
I started to crack up at the visual of this 70-year-old man scaling a giant fence to save his patient. These two were one hell of a team.
Luca smiled at him warmly. I'm so sorry for making you worry, Doc.
He held up a hand.
No need to apologize, I just wanted to make sure you were okay. I'll leave you two alone, then.
There was absolutely nothing I wanted more than to be left alone with Luca, to pick up exactly where we'd just left off. But when I looked over at her and saw the sweet smile she wore melt to a frown, the stupidest thing came out of my mouth.
No, stay. Why don't you join us for dinner?
So, how long are you two planning on staying in California? Luca sighed, and I knew before she spoke that I didn't want to hear the answer.
We have to get back on the road the day after tomorrow.
Heaviness settled in my chest.
Why so soon? It's a 3,000-mile drive. We took a little longer than we'd planned to get out here, and we need to leave 6 days for getting back. If I'm behind the wheel too many hours in a day, I start to daydream and forget I'm driving. I missed half of Colorado plotting my next book in my head. It's not exactly safe.
What about if I get someone to trailer the RV back and you guys take a plane? I'll book you a private flight.
Lucas smiled sadly. That's very sweet, but I don't go on planes.
She looked down.
Or trains or buses. I don't even go to the grocery store like a normal person, Griffin.
Doc piped in.
She did great at the pet store last week, though.
Luca shook her head.
My life is complicated.
Doc caught my eye.
Yes, Luca's life is complicated, but I'd venture to guess that Griffin's isn't uncomplicated. Where there's a will, there's a way.
It was easy to forget about Luca's issues while looking at her. Hell, it was easy to forget everything while admiring her beautiful face, but Doc was right. My life was as complicated as hers, maybe even more so, just in a different way. I stared at Luca. We only had a day and a half, and I didn't want to waste a minute of our time together.
Doc, I have a small pool house in the back of my property. It's got a bedroom and a kitchenette. Why don't you camp out there for the next 2 nights? I'm sure the beds in that RV can't be too comfortable. We can pull the camper into the driveway so that it's secure, and you can have some privacy.
Doc seemed hesitant to accept my offer, so I told a little white lie that I knew would sway things in my favor. There are some great birds out there. I just installed a new feeder, so I bet it's like an aviary first thing in the morning.
Doc's eyes lit up. Have you seen the spotted towhee? I hear she's quite the stunner.
The spotted what?
Sure, definitely have some of those out there.
Doc looked to Luca. His face reminded me of a little boy with his nose pressed up to the glass ice cream display at the store while he waited for his mom to say he could get a scoop. Luca smiled at Doc.
That sounds like a great idea, Doc.
He beamed.
All right. Thank you for the offer, Griffin, but only if we can really pull the rig into the driveway behind the gates. I don't want Luca sleeping in the RV all by herself out on the street.
Oh, don't worry about that. I have no intention of letting Luca stay in that RV either.
Of course. Why don't we go take care of that now, and I'll show you to the pool house.
The three of us headed out, Doc walking through the front door first. I extended my hand to tell Luca to go ahead of me, but she stopped, turned to face me, and pushed up on her tippy toes to whisper in my ear.
You better find a way to make birds appear back there by morning, liar.
Cole. Need you to do me a favor.
Aiden.
Whatever you need, boss.
Cole. Find a 24-hour Home Depot and pick up a dozen bird feeders and seed. Hang them all around my pool house by the time the sun rises. I need birds out there bright and early. Buy a dozen parrots from the damn pet store if you have to. Aiden.
Okay.
Cole. And don't wake up the old man sleeping inside the pool house. My assistant had received way stranger requests than this. One of the things that made him good at his job was that he never asked questions. So I powered my phone off, confident that Doc would be happy in the morning, and turned my attention to the woman standing in my kitchen. Her beautiful mouth stayed in an unreadable line. I walked toward her, focused on those lips. I wondered if she'd mind if I bit them. But Luca put her hand up and pressed against my chest, stopping me from finding out.
I'm not sleeping with you.
I raised one brow. Not ever?
Not tonight.
I nodded, amused. Okay, so tomorrow night it is then.
That's not what I meant.
She still had her palm to my chest, so I tested the waters by giving a little nudge forward. She didn't stop me, so I leaned down and buried my face in her neck, kissing my way along her pulse line up to her ear to whisper.
Are you saying you're not attracted to me, Luca? That's a shame, because I'm very attracted to you.
She shook her head.
I am very, but...
Her words fell away. I had no doubt I could convince her to change her decision if I set my mind to it. Though Luca meant more than just a quick fuck to me. I pulled back to look at her and cupped both her cheeks. I respect that, Luca. I'd be lying if I said that the thought of burying myself inside you wouldn't be a dream come true. But I'd never ask you to do anything you didn't want to do. She looked genuinely relieved.
I'm just afraid. Meeting you is such a huge step and I don't want to get even more attached than I already am.
Hearing her say that was more of a disappointment than her no-sex declaration. She'd only been in my home for a few hours, but I was pretty sure I was already more attached to her than some of my appendages. Why don't we go relax a bit? I have more than one guest room when you're ready to get some sleep. I don't know about you, but I'm nowhere near ready to stop talking to you. She smiled.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
In the living room, I lit the fireplace and filled our abandoned wine glasses from earlier. Luca pulled her feet up and tucked them under her.
Can I ask you something?
Anything. I sipped my wine.
Why didn't you want to tell me?
I shook my head. I don't know. I guess I liked us just being us. I was afraid things would change if you found out the truth.
Did someone you trusted do that to you? Change because of your fame?
I wasn't surprised she'd hit it on the head. Luca could read me better than anyone, without us ever having met. Now that she sat in front of me, I didn't even need to say the answer aloud. She saw my face and spoke again before I did.
I'm sorry they did that to you. That sucks.
Since we had limited time together, I didn't want to focus on all the negative shit that had gone down in my life, so I gave the abbreviated version. Friends who I thought were friends turned out not to be, and women, well, they want to be with me because I'm Cole Archer, not for who I really am, if that makes sense. She nodded.
It does. You know, the funny thing is, your being famous is probably the worst attribute in a man for me. I don't do crowds in busy places, and from the limited stuff I saw on the internet today, your life is one giant crowd and busy place.
I guess. Sometimes, anyway. But the last few weeks, I've mostly been recording in the studio, so it's been pretty low-key. Honestly, I love the music, but the crowds and the fame got old pretty quickly. I never appreciated anonymity until I didn't have it anymore. Things can get insane in this business.
Like what? Tell me the craziest thing that's ever happened to you.
I thought about it. I had enough stories to write a dozen books, but one in particular stuck out. I once came home to a woman cooking me dinner in the buff in my kitchen. Luca's brows knitted together.
I would think a man would be happy to find his date cooking in the nude, not think it's crazy.
She wasn't my date. I'd never met the woman before in my life. She broke in and acted like she knew me, calling me honey and stuff. It was like something out of the Twilight Zone. She had my name tattooed over her heart and had legally changed her last name to Archer. In her mind, we were married.
Luca's eyes bulged.
Oh my God, that's terrifying. Did she go to jail?
I shook my head. No, I agreed to drop the charges as long as she went for psychiatric counseling. She obviously wasn't right. But after that, I hired the security guard team that sits at the front gate 24/7. I needed it anyway. A week after Miss Archer was arrested, one of those celebrity tour buses added me as a stop on their map, and now there are always people trying to get on the property.
How can they do that? What about your privacy?
I shrugged. I traded my privacy for fame, Luca.
That's crap. I can understand people wanting autographs and trying to take your picture when you're out and about, but your home, that should be your sanctuary.
Yeah. People sort of forget I'm a real person. Her shoulders slumped.
And here I just did the same thing to you, didn't I? I showed up in an RV without being invited. In fact, you specifically told me you didn't even want to exchange photos.
That's different. I'm glad you took this leap for us, Luca. I really am. It needed to be done. I hope you can understand why I was hesitant at first. People don't show up to see Griffin. They show up to see Cole.
But I didn't even know you were Cole when I made this trip.
I know that now. And I'm sorry I ever doubted you.
I'm sorry I pushed you outside your comfort zone. God knows I hate being outside of mine.
My eyes roamed her face. Thank you for coming all this way. I know it couldn't have been easy. She nodded. Luca went quiet for a long time after that. She stared down at her wine, seemingly lost in thought. After a minute, I slipped my finger under her chin and lifted. If we only have a day and a half, you're going to have to tell me what's on your mind. While I'd love to get inside that head of yours and try to make sense of how it works, I'm afraid we don't have that luxury. She nodded.
I was just thinking that you must have a lot of women throwing themselves at you all the time.
There was no point in lying. All she had to do was Google and she'd find women flashing me their tits from the front row of almost any of my shows. And I'd indulged my fair share when everything first hit. The paparazzi had captured more walks of shame leaving my dressing room than I wanted to remember. I wasn't proud of the man I'd been in the beginning. But I'd learned my lesson. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm a virgin, but those women, they aren't throwing themselves at Griffin Marchese. They're throwing themselves at Cole Archer, a man who doesn't even really exist.
Have you had any serious girlfriends?
My jaw clenched. I thought I did, but it turned out I didn't. Haley lived with me for about 3 months. She was an aspiring singer. On my last tour, I decided to surprise her and come home between shows when I hadn't been scheduled to. I found her in bed with my 45-year-old agent.
Wow, I'm sorry. That's awful.
Yeah. That was just the beginning of finding out a bunch of dark shit about the people I thought cared about me. Lucas stroked my forearm.
I guess I can understand why you wanted to keep your current life a secret from me.
This conversation had taken a turn toward depressing. I reminded myself that we only had a little time together. The clock was ticking. I scratched at the stubble on my chin. I have an idea. Do you remember that little game we used to play as teenagers? The one where we would tell each other a couple of true things and a lie, and we'd have to figure out which was which. Luca grinned.
Two truths and a lie. How could I forget? Like when you got your driver's license and thought you were so cool going to the drive-thru line at McDonald's the first time, and you placed your entire order yelling into the trash receptacle.
I laughed. I had forgotten all about that. Figures Luca hadn't. That's the game. The winner used to have to send the other stickers, if I remember correctly.
I stickered an entire closet door because I beat you so often.
I used to let you win, cocky girl. I lied.
Sure you did.
I'm thinking it's time for a rematch. We only have a day and a half to get to know each other again.
What better way than to play our old game? I'm down for that, but I don't have any stickers with me on the off chance you actually get something right.
That's okay. We're not going to be playing for stickers this time.
We're not? What exactly are we playing for, Mr. Quinn?
Kisses. Winner gets to pick where they want to give them.
Chapter 15. Luca. The way I saw it, no matter who won this little game, I was going to come out a winner if it ended in a kiss from Griffin. We got comfy on the couch.
I'll go first, he said. Two truths and a lie.
He rubbed his hands together.
Okay. I once won a pair of Elton John's old knickers on eBay. Also, during one of my earlier concerts, I blanked out and forgot the words to one of the songs in front of thousands of people. Lastly, for your consideration, I haven't spoken to my father in 2 years.
I let the choices sink in as I massaged my temples. I feel like this is sort of a trick. The knickers thing sounds so bizarre that it almost has to be meant to seem like a lie, but really it's the truth. While I don't want to believe you haven't spoken to your dad in that long, based on your past relationship with him, I'm afraid that's possibly true as well. So I'm going to go with you forgetting the words to the song as being the lie. Griffin stared at me for a few seconds before making a sound that mimicked a buzzer. I'm wrong?
Yep,
he laughed. Damn, I'm losing my touch.
What would I want with an old pair of Elton John's knickers? That was the lie.
I don't know. You seem to enjoy perusing eBay before your account got shut down, and I remember you used to like him a lot when we were younger, so it made a little sense.
I like him, but not that much.
I wiped my eyes from the tears of laughter before turning serious when I said, okay, so, oh my gosh, 2 years since you've spoken to your dad, Griffin? A frown washed over his face.
Yeah.
Why? He blew out a breath.
Well, you remember he never supported my musical aspirations growing up. That never really changed. It wasn't until I made it big out here that he ever started to acknowledge that I might have made the right decision. Anyway, our relationship had always been strained because of how he treated my mum before she died. But even so, I still tried to keep the peace. That ended when he gave an interview to a British tabloid for a large sum of money. The article was titled something like, Cole Archer's Father Spills All His Secrets, or some garbage. Anyway, I stopped talking to him after that.
That hurt my heart. Griffin's dad was the only immediate family he had left after his mother died. I could relate to how awful it felt to be an only child and have almost no one. It must be a different kind of pain, though, to have your parent betray you. I'm really sorry, Griff. He shrugged. I could tell from the way he sucked in his jaw that talking about it had upset him.
His loss. Maybe someday I'll get over it and call him, but that day hasn't come yet.
I reached for his hand and squeezed it. Touching him even in this innocent way felt absolutely electrifying.
Anyway, he said, the night I forgot the words to the song was recorded and is now on YouTube. You can find it if you want the proof. Early on, when the fame had gone to my head, I'd gotten caught up pretty heavily in the drinking and partying. That concert was the last straw. The label threatened to boot me. Got my act together real fast after that embarrassment. Never drank before a show again.
Wow. If you can bounce back after blanking out in front of thousands of people like that, you can survive anything. Just standing there in front of them would be my biggest nightmare, let alone having to sing and remember words. I shivered at the thought.
Your turn, love. Two truths and a lie.
I took a deep breath in and thought about what I was going to say. Okay, two truths and a lie. I paused. I've developed an intense fear of spiders. I've never had sex with the lights on, or my readers think I'm a man. His eyes widened. Then a look of amusement flashed across Griffin's face.
Why do your readers think you're a man?
How do you know that's even the truth?
It's so obvious the spiders thing is a lie. Anyone who lives with a pig must have a high tolerance for creatures of all kinds. Plus, there is no possible way you have arachnophobia and agoraphobia. I chuckled. Okay, you're good. Yes, I am. In many ways. He winked. Feeling my body heat up, I said, So my readers think I'm a man because my name is... I braced myself. Ryan Griffin. He took a moment to let that sink in.
Griffin.
Ryan Griffin. I nodded. I never mentioned my pen name, and you never asked, but it's our two names combined. Well, my fake last name and your real first name. My actual last name is Vinetti.
Vinetti. Italian, like your dad. I love it.
Thanks.
So, Ryan Griffin. That's wild. And amazing that you held on to me in that way. I'm honored. Now that you know about my fake persona, I can't wait to properly explore yours. Will you let me read your books?
It's not like I could stop you if you really wanted to, now that you know my pen name.
You're wrong about that. If you didn't want me to read them, I absolutely wouldn't violate your trust.
I sighed. You can read them. You might think I'm even more screwed up than you already do, but you can read them.
Nah, not possible, he teased. Seriously, though, I want to binge them all, find out what my Luca's intricate mind can conjure up. I can't fucking wait, really.
I rolled my eyes and laughed. Great. As much as his reading my novels made me nervous, I was also kind of curious as to what he'd think about them. I wanted to make him as proud as he made me.
So you've never fucked with the lights on. That's easy enough to change. Any particular reason why, though?
Well, my first time was in a dark car, and the other times I made them shut off the lights. Just never felt like letting those guys see me. Not even really sure why that came to mind. I guess I couldn't think of anything else on the fly.
You thought about it because being around me makes you think of sex.
He wriggled his brows.
You imagined us both naked in broad daylight fucking against that wall over there. Am I right?
I gulped. Well, I wasn't before, but now I certainly am imagining that.
Jesus, Luca. You're turning red. Did that turn you on, babe?
A little.
Just a little.
Maybe more than a little.
You're so fucking adorable.
He leaned in and whispered in my ear. The heat of his breath gave me goosebumps when he said,
That reminds me. I need to collect my prize, don't I?
I got chills. Where are you going to kiss me?
Well, there really is no wrong choice here. I'd love to kiss any part of you that you'd let me. But given that you've made it clear we won't be taking things too far tonight, I should probably ask you what my options are first.
I wanted him to kiss me everywhere, but I knew opening up the options could lead to things I wasn't ready for. Can I think about it?
Of course. And if you don't want me to kiss you again tonight, you can just tell me. I can take a rain check for my prize. Because I do really hope to see you again. I wish to God you could stay longer than just one day.
I thought about that. Honestly, if I could have stayed longer, how much would I...